Why did you? The timer even ran out.
Why? What are you doing?
Yeah, because you read it and it goes into the live. So it's not just like half a second of our face. Are you kidding me? Whatever. Fucking production value. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Garbage Time with Boda Sports. I am James of James Aboda, and I'm joined by the father of song and Drew. How are we doing, boys?
Hello. How are you, James?
I'm always fantastic. I'm feeling really good today. I think this is going to be a fun one. We are going through, we decided we're going to limit it to get some guests on. We're going to be doing one team if we can. So we're going to be talking about the Seahawks in the back end of the show. We have two guests for that, two of my close friends. We are going to be talking about our top five draft running backs, which is a very fun class to be talking about. We have some news, and we're bringing back the garbage bag. We are opening the garbage bag this week. It's actually, oddly enough, as an adult, my garbage day tomorrow. So, you know, wow. Isn't that crazy? Where'd you go? All right. What the hell is this? Oh, my notes. It's just a really random far part down. So let's start off with the leadoff. Friggin' franchise tag deadline was yesterday at 4. Notable names that got the tag. Darren Payne was, I think, the first. Josh Jacobs was in there. Evan Ingram, I think, was tagged yesterday. Tony Pollard was thrown in there at some point. Saquon Barkley at the buzzer yesterday, which we'll tie that into the Daniel Jones news in a little bit. And then most notably, boys, the biggest news, Lamar Jackson gets franchise tagged. Not shocking because I couldn't get a deal done, but Lamar Jackson franchise tagged. Non-exclusive franchise tag.
Non-exclusive. Yeah, no, I think it's the right move. I don't think that there's any way that you're going to get around that. They knew that they weren't going to go with Lamar, I think, earlier than any of us did. And at least this way, that they can kind of guarantee that they're going to get something out of it. So, and if it doesn't work out, they still have Lamar. So, cool.
Zach, I don't know what your thoughts are on this. Obviously, that's the point, is we're getting to you. But I kind of think this is like a put your schmeat on the table move by the Ravens. It's like, you want to see what your value is? Go ahead. See what your value is. Because
I mean, either way, you can't end up winning. You can't do that in today's quarterback market. You can't just let a quarterback go see what his value is, because he's going to find the fuck out.
He's going to find out. He's going to find out real quick.
I mean, he was sitting on his couch and found out how much Daniel Jones was worth, and then they proceeded to do that. So this isn't a throw your schmeat on the table kind of move from the Ravens. This is a throw your schmeat in the trash, because you're stupid. Like, that was a stupid move by the Ravens. They're going to lose them.
They planned on that, though. They knew they were going to lose them.
Mm.
But now they get some kind of compensation. Could they
have used an exclusive tag on him and then worked on a trade that would have gotten more compensation out of it?
I think it's deeper than that. I don't think that either party really wants it at this point. I think Lamar wants to go elsewhere, and I don't think the Ravens necessarily care that he does.
And we're also talking about a former MVP. Like, however far removed we are from that, if he can't get two first-round picks in a trade, like, you think he's going to get two first-round picks, or they're going to get two first-round picks now? Like, I can't imagine a world where there's Lamar Jackson that doesn't, or Lamar Jackson trade that does not already include two first round picks. I think it's a move to be like, here's your actual value. We're going against the market. Let someone else try to set it. And then, like, worst case scenario, we're not paying you, take it. Or way under what they're asking. And they're like, here you go. We'll match that easily.
Right. Yeah. It's really a win-win move by the Ravens. That I don't think that there's anything wrong with what they did. I think that was the right course of action given the situation.
So, speaking of right course of action, we'll go with that one first. Daniel Jones gets paid $160 million over 4 years after, I have a lot of mixed emotions about this, but after 1 year of like, wow, Daniel Jones could actually be a quarterback, but it's also like not his option year, I guess, his last year of his contract.
Yeah, there were 3 years of that contract where I solidly placed Daniel Jones as the worst starting quarterback in the league.
Yeah, it's valid. 1 year
of decent quarterback play amount. Maybe it does. Maybe it does. Maybe he's found something with Brian Daboll. Maybe, I don't know, man. I don't fucking know.
It's a gamble.
Saquon's back, which helps. That's big. Yeah. They need to keep the team together. Daniel Jones is not, as a quarterback, I don't think he's worth it yet. But I don't know. 2 years from now, he could look like fucking Josh Allen. The dude can run. I don't know.
I guess that's the direct correlation to be the next Josh Allen. Be able to throw the ball and run and be white.
Yeah.
It puts him at like low end top 10 money. And I don't think like you can look at him and say Daniel Jones is a top 10 quarterback. Maybe last year. Maybe, but overall, over the lifespan of that rookie deal, no, you're right. No.
Even with that last year, I still put him in the bottom third of the league. I really do.
With the note on this, Anthony Price comes in. Wow. Thank Watson for messing up the quarterback market. True. It's not just a Watson thing, though. And we'll get to Zach's thoughts on this deal in a second because I got to get my ADHD brain out on this one comment. I don't know why I pulled it away so quick. Yes, the Watson deal hurt the quarterback market. That guaranteed money is absurd. But it already started that. Like, the Chiefs got ahead of that with the Patrick Mahomes deal. Now Patrick Mahomes being
based on Daniel Jones. That's so different.
What do you mean?
Patrick Mahomes has won a Super Bowl at that point.
Oh.
A different – Patrick Mahomes is arguably, at the end of his career, going to be the greatest quarterback of all time. So
right. But what I'm saying is they got ahead of the curve of, like, quarterbacks getting crazy deals.
Right, right. I mean, for what Mahomes is, that's cheap. But
yeah, absolutely. If you blind, like, showed me both those contracts and said, like, who is the quarterback that has, like, this fat guaranteed, like – I forget how much of that Watson contract is guaranteed. I would have said Patrick Mahomes had that contract, and Watson got like the $33 million. But here we are. Now, Zach, I want to hear what you think about Daniel Jones.
Oh my God, I really don't understand why the Giants continue to make these types of personnel decisions. It doesn't make any sense. He's going to revert back into a bottom feeding quarterback next year. I mean, it's gonna happen. It's inevitable.
I don't think we can say it's inevitable. I mean, it's his first year in a new system with a new head coach, and it worked. I don't see any reason to assume that it's just gonna stop working. I think we got to give it another year. But that's what I'm saying. I don't think you give him a big ass contract like that. Give him another year. Like, be like, all right, you were good last year. Let's see it consistently.
You're giving him borderline top 10 money for a player who has never touched borderline top 10. I don't care about last year. Yeah, he played in a much better system with Brian Daboll, but dumb. Again,
I do agree. I think they're going to end up regretting this contract, but
yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the other person that got paid before getting into the funny news. Geno Smith gets paid 3 years, 105. I think that was like 52 guaranteed or something like that. We kind of touched on this. We'll touch on it a little bit later. I just see the regression. I think it was a spark. I think it was a flash in the pan. I don't think Geno Smith keeps up this pace. Zach, if you want to lead off this one, because Drew and I keep saying fuck you.
No, you're good. I mean, we're gonna like you said, we're kind of gonna talk about this later with our Seahawks conversation, but. Yeah, I mean, I agree. You saw what he was with the Jets, and then again, I guess, you know, the Jets are the Jets. So, you know, they don't know how to run an offense, defense, special teams, or a franchise, to be completely honest with you. So, I mean, yeah, great. It's really good for them. They paid him that kind of money. I don't know. I mean, Matt Hasselbeck got a bag after he went to the Super Bowl, and look what happened with him. So, I mean, it's going to be the same thing for them.
That's fair. Drew?
Yeah, I mean, I generally agree tangentially with all of Zach's points. It's your sample size, again, is 1 year of him playing for a competent football team. Like you said, his Jets years don't count for shit. But I just don't understand, especially with the Seahawks being where they are. I mean, I guess he'll be good to have for 3 years, one way or the other, as a backup or a starter or a bridge quarterback or whatever the fuck he's going to be. But I don't know. That money's ridiculous.
That's a lot of money. We'll talk about that more later. I don't want to like harp on that too much with the Seahawks talk around the corner. Right. Talking Hawk. But Drew, let's touch on a couple things here. Let's talk about how the Jets are bad at running a franchise and how they just talk with your quarterback.
Yeah. Well, at least they didn't look terrible last year. They looked like they kind of stumbled their way into knowing what they were doing. Sauce Gardner is fucking incredible. He is the real deal. I am very impressed. So, I mean, I think that'd be fun. I think that team, I think having a guy like Aaron Rodgers there would be great for the team. I think,
oh yeah, all that
rally around that, that would be huge. Like the culture, I mean, not that Aaron Rodgers going around changing cultures, but there's a whole lot of new experiences for Jets players in store if he heads over there, I'm sure. But no, I like it, honestly. The Jets were a team that excited me a little bit last year, mostly because I haven't been able to associate, you know, the New York football Jets with the terms decent or okay or mediocre in the last, like, 10 years. So I just think that it would be fun. I think it would be fun.
I think it'd be very fun.
And then if Tom Brady ends up on the Dolphins midway through the season when Tua gets his 8th concussion of the year, that would be a hell of an AFC East.
Zach, you got any thoughts?
Kill me.
Yeah, no, the AFC East is just becoming a slaughter fest. Could you imagine having 4 games out of your year split between Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers?
That would be amazing.
And then again, add Tom Brady to that. That's 6 games playing Josh Allen, Tom Brady, and Aaron Rodgers. Not to mention the other quarterbacks they have to play next year, like Dak and pretty much every other Pro Bowl quarterback from last year. So that's great.
I think it would be hilarious to be the Patriots in that situation. Just being like, wow, look at all the quarterback talent.
Hilarious about that. You have Diet Kirk Cousins on your team. Like, no, thank you.
Yeah, no, that's
sorry. No, not even diet. He's like zero sugar RC Cola. He's that bad.
So I have one more bit of news, right? But I'm a gambling man lately because gambling's around the corner, and I'm willing to say that one of you two has this last literally, yeah, fuck no, tomorrow or 2 days, 10th. One of you two has this player as going in the garbage bag. I'm almost willing to bet that. Joe Mixon? No?
Well, yeah. He sure is going in the bag. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, weird. All right, well, God, what happened there? All right, well, let's open up the trash bag. Let's talk about some trash this week. Joe Mixon is a good place to start. I don't know who's going to take that pick, but Joe Mixon house was surrounded after there was a Nerf fight, and he either shot at a kid or a kid got shot at his house. Either way, a kid ended up shot. Yeah,
that's the thing that happened. I'm for everyone's sake, I'm hoping that the kid's okay, first of all, but secondly, right, that, you know, Joe Mixon isn't out there shooting children for being on his lawn with Nerf guns. That is a horrifying prospect.
I mean, Joe Mixon's always been one for controversy, but damn.
But like, that's a whole different
not shooting level. Children,
right? I don't even know what to say.
An adult fight broke on his lawn.
Yeah.
I really don't even have anything to say to add to that. I mean, the stories that these players are producing just get weirder and worse every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously.
I mean, look at Ja Morant.
Yeah, yeah. No kidding. Oh, also, that's a whole different league.
Also, trash bag candidate this week is Ja Morant.
Garbage.
Lumped in with Joe Mixon. Somehow there was something to lump in with what Ja Morant did.
So right now in the trash bag, we have Ja Morant and Joe Mixon.
I think that's a solid start.
All right. Well, mine doesn't seem as like intense now. As you guys know, I'm an F1 boy. I do like watching it. Season just started last weekend. And Esteban Ocon, who is average at best, got three penalties in almost like quick succession. He started in the wrong position on the grid. Penalty, time penalty, 5-second penalty. Goes into the pit. His team, started working on his car. They awkwardly stand around. Started working on his car 4.6 seconds. Words. Second penalty. Third penalty. He was speeding by 0.1 kilometer per hour out of the pit when he has a button that puts him in like pit lane mode. Third penalty. Because of one penalty, because he lined up wrong, it just stacked into three other things. I'm going to blame that on him because it's funnier than blaming it on the whole team. Esteban Ocon.
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole lot easier to blame on him. Like when you said he's got a fucking button that will put him at the correct speed. So he's not speeding by 0.1 kilometers per hour.
I just think it's so funny that like the graphic that's going to go with this is Ja Morant, Joe Mixon, Esteban Ocon, Formula One driver.
Let's add Mr. Tony D'Angelo to that list for spearing everyone's favorite resident senior citizen Corey Perry the other day.
Oh, I missed that. Did he really?
Nice little tap to the nutsack. Gotta love it. Yeah, he sucks. I don't like him. He is a dirty player.
All right. Well, let's throw an entity in the bag as well. That entity this week, the lucky entity, is the Detroit Pistons. Welcome to the bag. Detroit, come on. You haven't won a divisional game all year. Not one. Not a single 0-11. Bad. Bad worthy.
Oh, not because they did anything, just because they suck?
Yeah, because they're terrible.
Yeah.
Bad worthy terrible.
Teams, oddly enough, end up in the trash bag more often than not. We are very liberal with throwing teams in the trash.
Yeah.
Okay.
This team has won 6 conference games this year out of 39. So sample sizes there. They've been terrible recently. They're fucking, what are they? 1-9 over their last 10. Detroit's bad.
They are bad.
They're bad, and then there's Detroit bad, I guess.
Oh, imagine being the city of Detroit or living in the city of Detroit. That just sucks. Just throw the whole city in there. God.
Misery, constant misery.
Yeah. Apparently, they hand out little Caesars to people at Detroit Tigers games, and then
so people don't go for the baseball; they go for the free pizza.
No! It gets better. So. Then they end up throwing all the boxes out just like, you know, on the ground or whatnot. And then the homeless population comes in and uses the boxes and sleeps right outside the stadium. And instead of giving them food, they take the boxes away from them.
Some guy comes around at like 3 o'clock in the morning and rips all the boxes out from underneath the homeless people. I'm like, sorry, time's up.
Yeah, you weren't hot and ready.
These aren't hot and ready anymore. We gotta take them.
These aren't fresh.
The Little Caesars repo men.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. So
pizza and sticks for you.
Are we good to bring the can out to the curb, boys? Let's
do it.
Yeah, I think so. Just I can't have shit in Detroit.
All right, well, let's get into some draft day, darling, before we're talking Hawks, baby.
Talking Hawks.
See, when I say draft day darling, Zach, you're supposed to put the banner up.
Oh, no, I know. I'm doing this on purpose.
Asshole. All right. So today we are talking about our top five running backs, one of the most stacked positions, I think, in this draft class in general. There is a lot of running backs and not a lot of openings on teams. It's a very sad, sad thing. But the fun part about that is there's a lot of variability after the first overall, or after the RB1 for who fits into that top five. So we're going to also, per request of Joe in the Instagram comments, he wants us to give a draft comp. So I've written a few out that hopefully will line up. We're going to find out. But we have some pro comps for these draft picks. So who wants to lead off with number one? Who would like to do it?
I have a feeling all of us are going to be picking the same person. It's so easy. I think we, yeah. Yeah.
It's Bijan.
Dijon Mustard, number one.
I want a bottle of that so bad.
Dijon is so good. I love Dijon Mustard.
No, dude, no, he has his own mustard. You know that?
Wait, he does.
Bijan's Dijon? It's called Bijan Mustardson. Yes. It's a real thing. It was in tech. You could sell it.
I love that.
It's a real thing. I thought you were talking about mustard.
Oh, shoot. Okay, well, I'm going to have to order a bottle of that from whatever website he purchased that off. So, amazing.
Bijanmustard.com.
Bijan, that also would have been acceptable.
So yeah, Bijan, I put this as like a quick note. He's my favorite running back prospect since Saquon. He's just the whole package. He does everything right. He's got great speed. He's got great hands. He can no question, Bijan Robinson.
I mean, yeah, what more is there to say? Like you said, he's the most complete running back prospect since Saquon. I mean, and man, Saquon was scary.
Yeah, and like I think people, like we're talking about the pro comps, I think people try to like comp him to Saquon. I don't necessarily see that. I kind of get what they're getting at, but I think you just see like a very well-rounded running back who's like at the top of like the league or college football. And they're like Saquon. I do, however, on that same note, see more comparisons to Christian McCaffrey. So I'm going to give him the CMC comp, but I do still think he's too unique to just put like one pin on.
Yeah, and I feel like you get, you know, those types of running backs that have just defined their own style, and it's really hard to categorize them as a CMC or a Saquon or, you know, like a Maurice Jones-Drew, which is another comparison one of these other running backs is going through right now. So, I agree. I mean, I think he's got a very unique style characterized only by Dijon Mustard.
Stop.
I'm sorry. It's too good. It's too good. But all right, well, number two, I'm sure this is where we'll divert in opinion, but
I think so. I mean, I know, I'm currently looking at yours, but yeah, go ahead. If Drew wants to go, if Zach wants to go ahead.
Let's go with a complete mystery, because I know yours and you know mine, but we don't know his. So Drew, go.
All right, fair enough. I'm gonna go with what I've seen as the general number two here, in Jahmyr Gibbs. I think that he is probably the talent is so there. He's so quick, so agile, and I mean, DeBama running backs miss really, other than one.
Yeah, like Kenyon Drake.
One. Well, I mean, Kenyon Drake's good. Teams just don't know how to use him.
Oh, you're talking about Richardson, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Maybe a little too short-sighted on that one. Yeah, fair. I think I try to keep Trenton Richardson out of my brain.
Yeah. I don't blame you for a single second.
The whole Trenty boy. Yeah. Mm. Drew, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going Jahmyr Gibbs is my number two. Okay. Just for more comps on that, or player comps, people are comparing him to Alvin Kamara 2.0, or my personal favorite, a faster Debo. That also plays, so
I don't hate that yeah, one, actually.
That's scary knowing what Debo Samuel does on the football field. So, I mean, like, you know, just to kind of riff off of what Drew said, you know, he is probably the best pass catching back in this draft. And to pair it up kind of with, you know, his ability to rush in all three zones. So, yeah. Jahmyr. give me Jameer.
So, sneak preview. I have Jameer Gibbs at 3. I do like him. I think he's very, like, easy to mold into just, like, any system. I think a lot of these guys, minus Bijan, like, you need to find the right spot. I feel like Jameer Gibbs, like, just fits whatever you want to do. Insane balance, too. The stuff that guy did at Bama, stuff he did at Georgia Tech is absurd. But my number two is actually, I think, Zach's number 3. It is Devin Achane from Texas A&M. I just have a soft spot. I think it's because I was, like, an elementary school brain where, like, the fastest kid was the coolest. This dude is so fast on game tape, and he's just a home run hitter. Like, you know how much I love those, like, college home run hitters. I will say the thing that worried me, I was, like, trying to dig through comps and, like, think of whatever. He doesn't have as much mileage, but I do see, like, a very, like, Raheem Mostert, just, like, give him the ball. Hopefully he hits a hole and just fucking goes. But you know how volatile that can be.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see what he ends up or where he ends up. Because I think, like, ideal. Like, I think he would have been great for Kyle Shanahan. I think you could put any running back with Kyle Shanahan. I guess that's not Trey Sermon, and they would have been great. But I honestly don't know where I see him living as a player. I could see Miami going after him and, like, moving on and moving on from that weird committee they had last year.
Bizarre. But, yeah, I mean, just to – I guess I'll piggyback off you then, James, because I have him at number 3. Pretty much everything you said is what I see. A couple other things that I noticed from him is that he's not a great pass blocker. So
no, he's small. He's a wee boy.
I mean, exactly. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if you want to put him in an offense that relies on, like, possibly play action or utilizing him as kind of like a rub route. He's not really going to be able to do that as effectively as someone that has a little more size and, well, actually just size in general, really. So
no, for sure. That is the one downfall, is he's not bodied enough to, like, just eat blocks, but or eat blitzes. But I still just really enjoy him as a player. I think the home run ability translates, but yeah. I don't know.
I mean, if you get him in a system that utilizes a lot of screens or plays where he gets a one or two free steps before contact, then it's going to be really difficult to take him down with the amount of speed that he brings to the field. So
Drew, do you have a differing opinion?
Sorry, I didn't realize I was supposed to hand it off.
No, I didn't know. I was letting it rock. I was hoping.
My number 3 is also Devin Achane. Like you said, that big playability, especially in today's NFL, can't be overlooked with how much emphasis is placed on speed, skill, and making people miss. A lot of other runners in this league, draft, that are not, power backs, but aren't burners, don't have the quickness necessarily. But yeah, for all the reasons you mentioned, but can I go into my number 4?
Hell yeah, brother.
Yay. I like Tank. Tank's my dude.
Love me some Tank.
Tank.
Again, a super talented, compact runner, great decision-making skills, and the speed to take it home, not mind-blowing, but solid, especially for a dude that's his size. I like Tank. And all-time name. Guy, come on.
I mean, obviously. Yeah, that's... It's actually funny enough, there's multiple Tanks in this draft.
Oh, yeah, Tank Dell.
Tank Dell, yeah.
If only one of them was projected to be the number 1 overall pick, then teams could have been tanking for Tank.
It's really a shame, but one of the top corners next year will be Kool-Aid McKinstry, so get ready for that. Yes,
I know Kool-Aid. Really,
I just can't wait for DeCole.
Excellent return crossing. Specialist round, you know.
I think he's 2
excellent.
Years out.
Yeah, it's tough. I hope they picked a good flavor of Kool-Aid for him. But, just to kind of riff off that, my number 4, Drew, is also Tank Bigsby.
Yes.
I don't know what it is about him, but his ability to just burst past the secondary is ridiculous. especially linebackers and kind of going into I'm going to get my notes here, but he lets the play develop. It's something that, you know, you really need in an NFL level running back, especially inside the tackles. You know, some of these other running backs have difficulty letting the play develop and they get a little antsy behind the line. It seems as though he, you know, lets the plays develop and then is able to just hit the hole really, really hard and fast.
Dude, the other crazy thing about his game, I have him at 5, but spoiler, he just doesn't go down easily. Like, and it's not just like he trucks through people. He just legitimately bounces off tackles. Like, if you try tripping him up or something, he is so balanced, and his like center of gravity is so good. I don't know what you say for center of gravity, but he just
lower it is. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, they literally just compare him to a bowling ball. I mean, he's mm-hmm. small, but he is a bowling ball. I mean, every other player on that field is just a pin to him. He doesn't go down.
Some may say he's a tank.
Okay. All right. I mean, I believe that, you know, I know that your player comparison to him was also Alvin Kamara.
It's just so many, so many people I could see the Alvin Kamara thing, and the balance is what like locks me on that.
I mean, the only running back that I could think about that compares to him is MJD, Maurice Jones.
Ooh.
Other okay. man like a bowling ball. I mean, that dude ran like a bowling ball. He did. So
he did.
I can see the comparisons between the two of them, and you know, pretty much anyone that picks up is going to get that style of running back, and it's fun as hell to watch.
So my number 4 is what we're on is actually Tajay Spears. Tajay Spears out of Tulane. He had a fantastic combine, we had a fantastic Senior Bowl, a really good combine. He's increased his stock tremendously. The funnest thing about him, he's another home run hitter, but he doesn't like, he's on a smaller frame. But what he does is just these little like, little head movements, little twitches, and he just loses people. Like people are on skates around him. He did it to USC, and it was insane to watch. There's questions about his pass catching. There's questions about his size. And at every turn, he's been able to like show up and prove everything wrong about that. I love that. I just feel like the underdog. I have him comp to a lighter Aaron Jones. I don't think he has like the, like Aaron Jones, I could see like running through someone. I don't know if you've ever watched Aaron Jones, but Tajay Spears, I just don't think he has that like power on his frame. Anthony Price comes in. Tajay Spears is the next Elijah Mitchell. I don't know if that's good or not. If we're on the same path, I like it. But if it's on the same career path, I don't know if I'm necessarily in love with that.
Yeah, that's fair. That's very fair. That's kind of a scary comparison, I guess.
What?
Yeah, number 5. I mean, we're at the last of the list. You, James, who was your number 5 again? Tank?
Yes. No, Tank. Awkward.
Yeah, so I said Tank. All right, Drew, who's your number 5?
Number 5, I like Zach Charbonnet. I do. Again, I'm an all-around running back kind of guy, so I'm going to go with guys that are all-around running back kind of guys. And the guys on my list are all-around running back kind of guys.
I've watched
that's what I have to say about that.
I've watched an absurd amount of Zach Charbonnet. He is so good. He's very fun, and he barely missed my cut, but that's because I like Tajay Spears.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, the best thing about him is that, you know, he just has – what seems to me is an unlimited motor. I mean, he just continues to churn his legs. He fights for yardage in short down situations. I mean,
he's reliable.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Going to be an excellent third down back in this league. Can't deny it.
Boom.
Yeah. I mean, other honorable mentions, I would say would be Sean Tucker out of Syracuse. I like Roschon Johnson a lot, but I don't think a lot of people are in love with Roschon Johnson.
Sneaky Keandre Miller fan.
Yeah, Keandre Miller, Zach Evans.
There's so many.
Just, Kenny like, Mack.
There's Fant- like a
Kenny McIntosh.
Yeah, there's like a you know a good top three or four, really, even a top five if we really want to talk about it in that mix. But I mean, just even the top 10 are all graded so close within each other, weight, size, measurables, everything. So,
and then my man Deuce Vaughn, 5'5" Deuce Vaughn. I want him to be good so bad. I just want him to be good.
Deion Lewis comp. Come on.
I think he's gotten the Darren Sproles, but I think that's just weak. I think that's weak analysis, but it's just like special teams ace, whatever.
Yeah, well, those are our top five running backs.
Wow. All right. So we're moving on. I sent the invite out to the other person. Unfortunately, they're not here yet, not ready. But that's okay. Fine. Nope. That's fine. That's fine.
That's cool.
That's fine. That's fine.
Did we have any questions that were asked of us this week? Besides,
no, it was just a pro comp one. Unfortunately,
okay. Right,
no, he is typing in the chat. But while he is potentially joining, I'm going to add in one of my friends. I've been on his pod. He's his first time on our pod. Braden from Noble Sports, welcome to the first ever Talkin' Hawks. That's what we're going to call our yearly segment where we talk about the Seahawks. Once a year.
Seahawks all day, so.
There we go. So, I don't know if you know how, certain podcasts run. I've heard this somewhere before. We have some questions laid out for you guys. We're going to be talking Seahawks. It'll be a casual conversation. But, you know, it can go this is my thing. It's an original. It can go as long or as short as you want, Braden, you know. Like, we'll just let it rock.
I say that before every interview too.
I don't think so. I just thought of that, so I don't know where you got that.
Sorry, I couldn't get Lofa on.
It's all right. We're only going to hold against you a little bit. That's fine. It's fine. No, never any resentment towards you, Braden. So I mean, I think the biggest thing to talk about. We'll get Colds in here shortly, apparently, from Jack and Can. But Braden, let's talk about the Geno deal. Because I know you were excited about it, right? Like, as a Seahawks fan, you were amped to see him come back.
The spectrum of two sides, because I bet you Colbs is not going to be excited. Because he hasn't really said anything about it, but he wasn't a big Geno fan to begin with. I rode with Geno all season. But I think it's a friendly deal. He's only set to make $25 million in the first year with the opportunity of incentives of making up to $54 million. So... Long term, or it's a short term fix. I think we can go and get a quarterback late this draft, and you can sit behind him and let him ride out for at least 2 years. So I'm pumped.
That would be the ideal thing, right? Is get a guy, get a project, hopefully develop him, see him some time maybe, and like whatever. But Geno was part of this insane year that you guys put together. I can't begin to like understand if it was just one thing that we won't talk about, one person who shall not be named, that was like this toxic factor. But every expert that like you saw on ESPN and everything was expecting the Seahawks to be a bottom three team. And here you are making the playoffs. And like, honestly, a given 49er. Oh no, I kind of went belly up, but you put out two people that were rookie of the year candidates. You built a solid team off of one draft. Like, what was the overall like feel about that? Like, what did you honestly think this team was going to be in the position they were in when you were like looking at this early 2022?
I was actually looking because the trade happened today officially or something like that. Because I posted about it on my Instagram. I was like, sweet, last place, here we come. That's what I had posted. And then I changed tunes really quick because I was a huge Geno fan from the start of the season. I said, give him a chance. I think we're going to surprise people. And we started off hot and kind of fizzled out towards the end of the year. So did I think we were going to be as good as we were? No. But I also didn't think we were only going to win like two games like everyone was saying. And I kind of kept that voice and that noise all season long. Even when we lost to the 49ers in the playoffs, I was annoying about it. It's like, you guys said we're going to suck. And guess who didn't suck? We did. So.
Yeah, you mean who expected that, honestly? I mean, like, let's be honest. 2 to 3 games was a low mark. But you came out and you shocked the world. I mean, we talked ad nauseum about how much I love Tariq Woolen, how much I thought Charles Cross was going to be solid, and Abram Lucas I thought was like an underrated prospect. But I also thought they were like 2 years out from being anything like worthwhile in the NFL. And you put out two rookie tackles and got solid production out of both of them.
One sack all year.
They only let up one sack all year. That's like, you don't get that. You don't hit that well in a draft class often.
Yeah, I remember you were excited for the Cross because we did that live for the draft. That Cross pickup, I was excited about because that's what we finally needed. That was our biggest problem, was our offensive line. We had all the other weapons. I mean, the cherry on top was K-9. K-9 was definitely the cherry, but it's because no one knew about Carson. So, I don't know. I think we kind of got lucky, but Seattle also finds those hidden gems. They've done it multiple times. In 2012, we had the Russell Wilson, Bobby Wagner draft. We did it again. So maybe a 2012 kind of feel right now.
Wow. So, yeah, I mean, we've kind of joked about that too, but are the Seahawks legitimately on a path to get back to like a Legion of Boom 2.0? Like with Kobe, with Tariq. Obviously, you need some help in the D-line. You need some linebacker help, but
Bobby's coming back. That's going to happen. I have a gut feeling that's going to happen. But yeah, I think we are on track to have something special. And I have an inside source who thinks this is the 2012 kind of feels, and he was on that 2012 team. So if anyone knows, it's him. So,
well, let me. He's finally here, folks. We're going to get back into the Bobby Wagner thing because I want you and Zach to debate where he's actually going, because I mean, the Patriots have been tied up to him too. My other friend, other part of Breaking Down the Tape Network, but Colbs of Jacked and Can, welcome to the once a year segment Talking Hawks.
Hey, how we doing? It's nice to be here. It's always good to be here for the annual one time only that the Seahawks are talked about.
On this show. That's it. We won't acknowledge the Seahawks the rest of the year, but we want to at least do like our due diligence. So you get 30 minutes.
Oh, well, that's fair. I mean, honestly, I mean, it's only about 1/30th of the NFL, so about 30 minutes is probably accurate.
Yeah, exactly. See, you get it. You understand.
There's math behind it.
Somewhere. some math. It might not be good math. So, Cobes, we were just touching on it before. Braden thinks you're going to have a differing opinion, but we kind of, the trio up here talked about the Geno deal a little bit. I want to get your thoughts because we were thinking back to when you were not exactly ecstatic about Geno being your starter day one.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, I wouldn't have been necessarily thrilled with the money if it wasn't for the fact that we have the cap space currently and that we're not going to need to use it in the next, say, 2 years. If we were in that kind of scenario, I would think about it differently, but I'm okay with it for the time being, just because we do have the ability to give him that money and still have some left over. We can still go out in free agency and continue to add to the roster. So it doesn't hurt us in the short term. And additionally, I don't think that we have an answer that's going to be QB1 going into next season if it's not Geno. So I think it makes sense for now. If it were a scenario where we didn't have that cap space or we signed him to, say, a 5 or 6 year deal, I would feel much differently about it. But I think 3 years for a decent bit of money, I think that works for us right now. I saw it's $105 million. I think we can live with that. Hopefully we're not trying to play that into that third year too seriously, but I like it for the next 2 years.
And I mean, we kind of touched on this too. With Braden, but obviously I want to hear your thoughts. I want to get two different perspectives of Seahawk fans here. Like we talked about, Geno was your day one starter. Like early 2022, did you see this team having two rookie of the year candidates, a playoff berth, and just the amount of success that they had in comparison to where everybody put you guys at 2 wins? I think was like
I myself, Jimmy, had us having 3 or 4 wins. I thought we were going to be the absolute garbage pit of the NFL going into this last season. I thought it was a joke that we were throwing Geno Smith out there in the first place. I thought everything about it was terrible. I thought Kenneth Walker was probably going to be solid. I mean, that panned out pretty well. And yeah, we've obviously shown that we can draft, especially at the corner position later rounds in the draft over the years. But I still, every time we draft a corner late, I don't think anything of them, even though I've seen time and time again these guys pan out for us. So I didn't see anybody on the defense being a defensive rookie of the year candidate. Tariq Woolen was a total shock to me. And no, I didn't see any of the success all in all. I really thought we were going to be – I thought we'd be picking top 5 in the draft, but with our own pick.
Yeah, right? What a wild turn of events. Is there any, like, resentment in your body towards Russell? Or I know Brayden doesn't have any resentment in his heart. No.
This guy is more the only time that he lies in his whole life is his having resentment for Russell Wilson. He will tell you that he holds nothing, and yet at every turn he is taking shots at this guy. No, man, I thank Russell for everything that I got out of him. It's the only Super Bowl I've ever gotten to experience. Of course I love Russ. He's kind of different. He's kind of weird. Seems pretty unlikable, I'll be honest. I love him. He's my guy. He won me a Super Bowl.
I think Drew and the Packers.
I don't hate him.
Uh-huh.
I just kind of have hard feelings towards it because he was kind of a douchebag. Like, pardon my French, but he was a douchebag. And it's clear. Look at how many of the players are coming back around now. And I think that's kind of why Geno was so successful, is because it wasn't just I kind of guy. I'm the boss. I'm kind of this guy. He's a team player, and that's Russ's biggest issue. And you saw it with Denver. Offensive linemen don't just let defensive linemen go through and then not pick you up after you've been sacked. I'm just saying. Grass isn't always greener.
It's definitely not, especially in Mile High. It's rocky at best over there. I think Sean Payton has his work cut out with Russ. But Zach, were you going to say something there?
No, I'm just absorbing all the information put in front of me, and all I can think about is every time he said Broncos country, let's ride, every time there was just more of a sad look on his face. It just continued to droop.
The subway ads, dude.
It's stained in my mind. It's stained.
He knew how that ride was going, man. Oh my God. He knew it wasn't going anywhere.
He got rode into the ground. That's the only kind of riding that was being done.
Real great input.
Yeah, remember when everyone said he was in a better situation in Denver? They had better wide receivers, a better running back, a better defense. Where?
Yeah, I said that too.
It's fair. I mean, look at it on paper. Who looked at that on paper and said, oh, Russ is going to be unsuccessful? Russ is going to be a flop.
I thought the Broncos were a top 5 team. I had him as one of the Super Bowl favorites coming into the season. I'm like, oh, this team's going to be awesome. We're going to be trash.
And here we are. Look at you. Look at you riding that. It worked out
for us.
Mm-hmm.
Cold blue negative, I was positive. It worked out.
Yeah, I know. I had to. I just had to put up with Brayden telling me I told you so all year.
Victory lap, Brayden's a different beast. I love it. Yeah, when school's ever been negative? So where do we want to go from here? With the Geno deal, it kind of limits your cap off of rumors. I don't think we have any official numbers. I know you said, what was it, like 20-something in the first? It kind of pulls your cap down because you're looking at like $23 million-ish before this. Is there enough there for – also, Colbs, I know how Brayden feels. I don't know how you feel. Do you want Bobby back? Do you want him to come home?
I mean, I didn't want us to get rid of him in the first place. It would obviously make me happy if he was back, but I don't know that we necessarily need to spend any real money bringing back a Bobby Wagner. I know that we're going to be missing Jordan Brooks for the beginning part of the season due to his injury that he sustained at the end of the year. But I mean, I like what we got at linebacker right now between Cody Barton and Uchenna and Wosu. I think we got the right guys there, and I don't think we need to fill the hole necessarily going into this new season, especially by overpaying for what is, I mean, honestly, one of the better inside linebackers that we've seen play the position. But at the same time, we're talking about a guy that's in his, what is he, 34, 35 at this point? I know he's older than I am. And I don't know how much he has left. I don't think it's going to be worth spending the kind of money it's going to take to bring Bobby in just to have him there to essentially be a fill gap for a season.
I guess. I mean, he still has the weird production. Like, he's still graded highly, which I didn't watch nearly enough Rams games to give you any kind of an opinion on.
Well, Jimmy, I just butt in here real quick and tell you my favorite thing of every play that happened over the course of the entire NFL season was Russell Wilson throwing a pick six to Bobby Wagner. I was like, ha! Yes. Remember that?
That only happened in practice. Oh, bear appearance.
That made me happy, too.
All right, so where are we going to go next with this? I mean, cap-wise, you're not really going to do that much, but draft capital – You got it in spades. You got draft capital out the butt. Hi, Bear. Including that top five pick and then number 20 at the turn. How would you like that used? I mean, are you just going to let the draft come to you? Are you going to spend that? Like, what would be your ideal thing as a Seahawks fan?
For me, I would like us to do something at that number five spot, bringing in a quarterback of the future, just because I know we're not going to be picking this high in the draft anytime in the near future. Or at least I would assume that we're not. So I would like us to try to start making that move now rather than wait 2 or 3 years, find out, oh shit, we need a quarterback, and then have to go figure it out then. I think it would be a lot better for us if we were to take care of that need now, as far as at least beginning to groom somebody. It's fine if it's somebody that can sit for a year or two. I think that's fine. I just don't want us to run into the position where we find out in a couple of years, oh, that's not going to work out. We need a guy, and we don't have that ability to go get a guy this high in the draft. What I actually think we're probably going to do is just build up on defense. We're probably going to use it on a pass rusher or trade down, get a pass rusher a little bit further down. I mean, we do still have to build an entire defensive line. There's really nobody that stands out on that D-line to me. So I wouldn't be shocked if that's – well, not only do I – not feel shocked by it. I think that's what Seattle's going to do. I just don't think they're going to get this positioning again as far as being able to get themselves a top level quarterback.
So if you are sitting at five still when the time comes and you want them to draft a quarterback, who's your guy?
So I am not one who is necessarily great at predicting which of these guys coming out from college is going to succeed in the NFL. I am the guy that will typically wait and give them a full-blown year before I tell you anything about the guy. You could probably ask Jimmy about that, because I took everything that he had as far as draft advice, as like just for my own knowledge. I don't make my own. Obviously, I like what I see out of C.J. Stroud coming out of college, but I don't even know if he's going to be there at five. It sounds to me like he's probably going to be off the board by that point. So I don't have necessarily a dream guy. I would just rather there be somebody there that they feel good enough about that they could take with that pick, just because I don't think they're going to get this chance again anytime in the very near future.
Yeah, and I think that the Seahawks have put themselves in a very good position with the talent that's coming in at quarterback in this draft to be able to take a guy. And we talked about it a little bit last week in – there's a lot of guys in this draft class with just unbelievable quantities of talent, and they just need a little bit of TLC, a couple of years to learn, a couple of years to develop. And the Seahawks are a prime destination for one of these guys, I think. So, like what you're doing.
I mean, like
those who I would want.
Well, oh, I know who. Yeah, all right. I wouldn't use that top five pick on him, but yes, Jaren Hall.
He's gonna be available in the sixth round. Because people are going to immediately think, oh, Zach Wilson, when he's better than Zach Wilson. Mm-hmm. His only ding is he's older.
That's a low bar, man.
I watch BYU religiously, no pun intended there, but Jaren Hall is going to be someone to look for. Like, and I've seen the Packers as linked as trying to get him late in the draft, too. I think – with the whole uncertainty there, yep. I don't know. I'm not a Jordan Love fan. I watched him play some horrible BYU teams and absolutely suck. So,
yep. No, I mean, literally everything you can possibly say about the Packers quarterback position is a complete question mark at this point.
I just realized that we're talking to a guy wearing a Packers jacket that just caught on. I was about to say, yeah, if anybody in here is a Packers fan, that's got to be terrible, right? Because Jordan Love seems like the ultimate uncertainty.
Yeah. Not thrilled about it, especially given the capital invested in him, but it's going to be a ride.
He's like, it's great. I fucking hate it. It's going to be a rough go for you, Drew. It's not looking positive.
Nope.
I don't know. I think, like, if you were going to go for a quarterback at that position, it might honestly be worthwhile to drop back on that pick and get Anthony Richardson, like get Will Levis, get a dude that has the tools, that needs to develop, and let him work, because they're raw. They are raw. They are still heart beating meat raw.
Nice. But tell me more slowly.
You want me to whisper it in the mic?
Yeah, ASMR. If you could.
Mic's too far. I'm not going that close to the screen. save that for the glide. If you're going to go that way, which does not seem a popular option for a lot of Seahawks fans, draft content has been pouring out. Anybody who drafts a quarterback to the Seahawks gets yelled at by 12-year-olds. I don't think we should. Controversy. A little split between the Talking Hawks hosts.
I didn't hear what he said.
Hey, Colbs.
He doesn't think he should.
If Jalen Carter is available at 5, because it is a misdemeanor, I'm not trying to justify what he's being accused of. Do you? Because he's one of those guys that could change the line. Would you risk it?
So the way I've always viewed this, Braden, is football is a business. And even though I don't have to agree with whatever somebody's doing off the field, I might not like it. But if the team's going to draft the dude, well, he's going to be there. What am I going to do? Root for everybody on the roster except for him? If he's going to change the line, you bring him in and change the line. It's a business. It's not a social club. We're not hanging out here going, oh, you know what, man? I really like what you did this last week. That DUI was sweet.
Well, I sent James the latest mock draft that had him going to the Raiders. I was like, how ironic. The Raiders of all teams. So
very Raiders.
I know, right? Just keep the jail yard going. And by the way, Colbs, you can in fact do that. As a Browns fan, I can tell you, you are allowed to root for everyone but one player on the field. It is possible. You
can. Anyone knows.
If anyone can tell you that, it's this guy right here.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Man, I don't really know. I don't really have anything else for you guys, to be honest. I want to hear some more thoughts on the season. Like, where do you go with this whole Geno deal? Like, do you draft a wide receiver because Tyler Lockett's aging out? DK Metcalf is going to have to get paid next.
DK just got paid.
Okay, yeah. DK got paid. Never mind. I forgot about that deal, but fuck you, whatever. I also said to, like, Zach and Drew before this, I was like, oh, we should definitely try to keep it a little less vulgar, and I just dropped a straight F-bomb. But anyway, whatever. We're already thrown out on that ranking. Sleep. Drew, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, one of the areas that we haven't touched on yet, one of the few that stands out to me, is running back depth. Something that the Seahawks had a lot of trouble with the past couple of years. Now, a lot of that's the product of the offensive line, is keeping running backs healthy. Behind K-9, you're looking at, what, DJ Dallas and Godwin, whatever his last name is.
Travis Homer. Don't forget about Travis Homer.
Is he still on the team?
Yeah, he's still there. He's mostly special teams.
All right. I say we don't have the money to bring Penny back at this point.
No, and Penny honestly, back. At this point, like by it. The way,
I like Rashad Penny. I like Rashad Penny a lot.
We got two pennies.
He's mostly probably the pick that I got the most pissed off at when it happened, and so every year when I see him hurt again and again and again and again, and just every time it's something, it just bothers me beyond anything else. Keep in mind, at the time the Seahawks drafted Rashad Penny, they had traded back in the draft that year. they could have had at what was their number one pick. They could have had their choice of Calvin Ridley or Isaiah Wynn when we didn't have anything going on the offensive line at that time. So it would have been really sweet to have a nice tackle in there or, you know, Calvin Ridley. And instead, we got this Mountain West running back who gets hurt after every couple of plays.
I'm not going to lie to you. You definitely don't want Isaiah Wynn. He is a bag of bricks.
He's an open door. A bag of bricks because a bag of bricks is a little bit difficult to run through, and it's better than what we had.
Good point. All right, fair enough. I mean, he came into a system that had perennial power at offensive line, and he was a bum. So, I mean, I just can't imagine what he would have been in an offensive line system that was mediocre at best.
Oh, it was not even mediocre. It was terrible. I just would have loved to have had anything at the O-line there, and instead we end up with Rashad Penny. And I remember first training camp, got hurt, didn't even get to start the regular season for a couple of weeks. And I'm like, okay, cool. This is going to be the life that we just spent that number one pick on right there. As far as the running back depth goes, I don't know if that's something we are going to address during the draft because we're going to want something other than just DJ Dallas, even though I think he's a nice backup to have. I think you're going to want a third running back there as well, just something to continue to split carries with, especially considering the Kenneth Walker has shown that, well, maybe he's going to be hurt now and again as well. And you don't want to run into the situation that you have with Chris Carson and Rashad Penny where they're always going to be hurt, at least one of the two of them.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was saying. It sounds like kind of a Seahawks trend, so I figured maybe that would be an area of concern at some point for moving forward.
I want you guys to
draft wide receiver too.
Yes, yes. Also, got to be somebody other than DK and a 37-year-old Tyler Lockett.
I believe he's 30.
Yes, Rich.
Fair enough. Hyperbole.
Yeah, man, dude. There's a lot of players I like. In this draft, but I don't like love to the point where I'd want them to be my number one receiver. And I could like list off names or like number one running back, but like there's enough playmakers. You guys could get somebody and just plug them in and be fine and get rid of Eskridge, who I overhyped. Cool. But I thought it was going to be so good.
Yeah, I was hoping he was because we didn't have a first rounder that year or a third rounder. And we spent the second rounder on D. Eskridge there, who I was psyched about, once again, ignoring the offensive line problem. I'm so happy we got tackles last year. You have no clue just like how much I go to bed at night and go, ha, we drafted tackles.
Do you think of Charles Cross often when you're asleep?
Yeah. I actually just picture him holding me.
How much younger is he than you, Colts?
I was thinking more of the size discrepancy being the funny thing there. The age now makes it weird. I guess I'm probably about 8-9 years older than he is.
All right, only a couple Olympics. Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah, it makes more sense. Making my dream.
Gabe Jackson's going to get cut. That's who I'm hearing is going to get cut for our line.
That's fine.
And I'm not too sad about that. It saves us $6 million in cap space. There's a lot of good guards that could fill in, and we need a center. That's our two biggest holes on the line because our center just retired. So,
We didn't really have one anyway. Austin Blythe was kind of at the end of his running there, so I mean, we were going to need to fill that regardless. Yeah, we're one center and one guard away, and we can do that later in the draft because everybody ignores that there is an inside of your line. Like they just pretend there isn't one, except for the Colts.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. and then, like, randomly, you guys let Pochich, right? He was a Seahawk. You let him walk, and he becomes, like, almost all-pro with us.
Yeah, it makes no sense, because he was never anything relatively good for us. I don't know what the hell happened. I can't explain this one. He was just trash.
I heard into it, that he was, like, an open door, and people would just go right through him. And then he comes to the Browns.
Ding, ding, ding. Like you got it nailed. I don't know what that is. I don't know why he leaves us and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I know how to block.
Oh wait, I can block? What? That's how
what
I do
are we
that?
Teaching in Seattle?
You figured it out on the flight to Cleveland.
You put down the coloring book and there's a playbook.
That'd be a lineman for 2 days. No, I imagine that he upped the practice regimen. He just stood in front of the plane, tried to keep it from taking off.
I would actually pay to see someone like shuffle back and forth in front of a plane.
Yeah, I mean, I would do that too if I was flying to Cleveland.
It's fair. It just hurts.
No, the city of Cleveland is just meant for that, though. I'm pretty sure it was a city that was directly put onto the United States map just so that everybody is a city that they can shit on at all times.
Mm. Have you seen the ad for us? Yeah, you missed the Detroit talk. Have you guys seen the ads for people like trying to get completely off topic, but trying to get people to move to Ohio?
Dude, there's so many. They're everywhere.
I know. So we have infrastructure. Like, I don't care. I don't want to live in Ohio.
So do we.
Train crash and chemical spill, but no one wants to talk about that.
Yeah, you currently can't breathe in like a 5 mile radius, but sure.
Sure.
Move to Ohio.
I have not seen this plethora of commercials.
What'd you say, Braden?
Not to move here. We're tired of people moving here. I'm in Vegas. And, like, seriously, Californians can stay in California. They can't drive. Hector's like, oh, no, you guys are the ones that can't drive. No, it's the people from Vegas that can drive. It's the people from California that can't. So stop moving here. We don't want you.
Braden has passionate feelings about Russell Wilson and California drivers.
Yeah.
Valid. Valid.
It's fair. Do you know Braden is actually Keith Lee? It's crazy. I think the only one person might get that. Anyway. Guys,
yeah,
I don't really.
He's getting a lot of hate.
Oh, yeah, whatever. That's stupid. Braden Kolbs, I want to give you guys just the floor to give me your favorite Seahawks moment before I let you guys walk off into the sunset. Ooh. And is it, in fact, a moment from 2015, maybe? Like a comeback? Is there like any important game that happened in 2015?
Hold on. We're
talking about perhaps an early February game in 20, like the actual year 2015, but the 2014-15 NFL season. Are we talking about that specifically?
I believe so, yeah.
More specifically, we're talking about one gentleman by the name of Brandon, last name Bostic.
Oh.
Game cares.
Yeah. Oh, no. No.
Well, that's lame. Shit on the Packers fan.
No, I mean, it's a good memory, but it's not up there for my favorites. I was at work during that. I was actually listening to it on my phone, like via radio. I was just sneaking around trying to catch the end of that one. But no, definitely wouldn't be my favorite Seahawk memory. I mean, it'd be tough not to say the Super Bowl from 2013 just wrecking the Broncos, but also that feels like it can't be like that great of a one moment because it was a 43-8 game. So, I mean, I guess if we're just going based on like singular moment, you know, actually underrated one for me was the Fail Mary that I was celebrating so damn hard. I was just chugging straight Captain Morgan.
Why did I even show up? I knew this was going to happen.
Oh, yeah, it was against you, too.
Stay tuned next week. We're going to be interviewing San Francisco 49er fans.
Oh, man.
That happened.
It just brings me back, man. There's a lot of ha-has in there. There's a lot of fun to be had and a lot of Clinton Dix.
That was good. Sure. I like that. Sure. Braden, do you have anything that's not going to ruin Drew's heart?
Ruin Drew's heart. So, I don't know if James told you, but I'm interning with Lofa Tatupu's podcast. Really cool dude. I've had him on my podcast, all pro linebacker for the Seahawks. So, this is going to be a really basic favorite memory, but it was the Beast Quake. And why I love it so much is when I had him on my podcast, he was on that team. So, I got to talk to him from a player's perspective. He was concussed, so he hardly remembers it. He just remembers being on the sideline, not really knowing what's going on, and all of a sudden they scored a touchdown. But it's still one of those iconic moments where a game we shouldn't have won, where we did, and the rest is history.
Did you ask him if any of the stadium shaking threw him off because he was concussed and he wasn't really sure what was real?
I should have. That would have been funny.
Concussed on the sideline. Earthquake! Oh, gosh.
What'd you just break?
Braden, did you ruin something? Sounds like you ruined your microphone. Oh, God.
It was the microphone.
We've lost to Braden.
All right. Well,
oh, I get it. He's doing the Beast Quake.
Live reenactment. Right now.
Jeez.
All right. Well, I think we can. I think we can wrap it up here. We've run long enough. Braden's got some places to be because he's Mr. Social. Colbs,
got like
Braden,
1,000 NBA bets to go check up on.
I was gonna say, yeah. Colbs, Braden, you want to promote your ish? How do I like highlight you? How do I make it just?
Hold on. I think you can. Hold on.
Picture in picture. Big picture.
Hold on. Nope, not me. Hold on. We got this.
And Zach. I picked Zach. Zach talk. Zach, promote your podcast.
Hey, guys. Yeah, so totally check out Zach Cast on Instagram and
oh God. Other places. All right, here we go. Stop.
All right.
What the highlight?
Not doing anything. This isn't me.
Oh, is it me? It's definitely
I'm not touching anything.
Problem.
You act like I control this shit.
All right, Braden, I don't know if your mic works or Colbs, if you want to go, but either one of you, I would love for you to promote yourself.
Braden, is your mic on? It's not a good start. Oh, there it is.
There he is.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes. Zach!
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes, there we go.
It's bigger.
Cool. Sorry, I broke my daughter's bed, so that's going to go over well.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she's got one of those IKEA beds. I was sitting on it because she's asleep in our bed, and it's broken now. So, yeah, that was fun. Perfect timing. But I host the Noble Sports Podcast. It focuses a ton on women's athletics and athletes. Go give it a listen. You can find me on Instagram at Noble Sports or all other socials the same way, but yeah, it's a ton of fun.
Now, Colbs.
All right, guys, you can come check out me and my co-host John on Jacked and Canned, where we discuss everything from sports to, pretty much anything. Doesn't matter what. Whatever's on our mind, it's usually a good time. Jimmy's been on before. He's gotten drunk with me there. It's always a great time, and you can also check me out on Nobody is Shiftier, part of the Breaking Down the Tape Media Network. That is all I got, gentlemen.
All right. Zach, make it the view with all of us now. Do it. Wait, I can do it. This is high quality production right here. That's what I love. That's what we're here for. It's just all the production. So Drew, Zach, final thoughts. Go for it.
Just going to keep switching the screen while you guys talk. come on, let me speak now. No, it was great having you guys on. I'm super interested to see year two of the new, brand new Pete Carroll, I guess, new man's. be very interested to see Kenneth Walker can stay healthy for all 17 games this year. He already couldn't for one season, so.
Sneak preview, we won't.
I was going to say, I'm done speaking. Did anyone want us supposed to go?
I would also like to thank you guys for coming on. Not so much for hurting my feelings, but for coming on. So, thanks.
Anytime, man. It's great reliving these times with you.
Yeah, it was a blast.
All right, well, obviously, whatever. Thank you guys for showing up. Cool, it's whatever. Fine, whatever. No, I really appreciate you guys coming on. I just love the hell out of both of you.
You muted yourself, Jimmy.
How did you manage to do
that? I don't even. Yeah, what the hell was that?
I did it on purpose.
You muted me.
I don't control this, James. I already told you.
Shut up. Yes, you do. I did not mute myself there. So you guys are more than welcome on at any time you want. We're definitely going to do this again and have you guys on at some point. Maybe.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's been a blast, and I can't wait to see you guys in the near future. I think it's going to be a great time. We'll be able to revel in the season together.
Looking forward to it.
All right, guys. Well, appreciate it. And thank you for joining Garbage Time.
Absolutely.
Stay classy, Vegas.
I guess James is trying to say something, but we're going to end the broadcast before he has a chance.